Lord, I just I bring the houses of every person here to you, Lord, that every place in their homes would be completely filled with your Spirit right now as the angel hosts are ministering, Lord, that you would go over to every house and prepare a way right now, Lord, for whatever's going on. There would be no more demonic oppression, that there would be no more depression in any area, Lord. And there's rooms that remind people of things, and I say right now that we break those chains. We break those chains that everything that we have at home reminds us of you right now, Lord. That every single area, nook and cranny, every object, Lord, that you would bless our homes. That you would fill them with your Spirit. That your angels would just begin to do things preparing for what is to come right now in our homes, Lord. I want to pray over businesses. I just pray, God, that you would just increase favor supernaturally, Lord, over every business in this place, every business owner, every entrepreneur, Lord, that you would just begin to increase favor. Lord, that strategies that have been made by our hands, by man and forged by our hands would fall to the wayside and that your strategy would come in its place, Lord. We just ask for an increase of client base, Lord, and that everyone that you bring to our business doormat, Lord, that would be a place where they encounter you, Jesus. We commit our businesses to you, Lord, our places of work, Lord, to you. Lord, that you would just begin to make them a ministry grounds right now, Lord, and increase, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask for more supply, Lord, more supply, more earthly supply even, Lord. Every place, Lord, abundantly, Jesus. I just pray that every campus, every person, every student in this place would rise up, that there would no longer be any area of resistance, that you are a chosen child of God, and he has mandated you for an amazing purpose, and tonight he is showing you who he is as a father. He is showing you that you are his son and daughters. And that your campus is your place to reveal an amazing supply of love. There are people on your campuses that are seriously on the edge of cutting, of killing themselves. And one affirmation that comes from the Father through you is all it takes. And he's telling you right now that you are the answer. You are the one that could be the very thing that prevents very serious things from happening. He's calling you and he's saying, will you just walk with me? Will you get to know me? That is your Father to every student in this house, in every grade bracket. You are so needed in your schools and in your classes to be loved. So I want you right now, just whoever's here, I just want you to visualize someone that you know needs a touch of Jesus. They just need some kind of thing from the Holy Spirit. Something just real and authentic from Jesus is all that they need to boost their confidence to get through another week of school. I want you to visualize that person. I want you to just begin to pray right now. Just pray over them. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter how close you are to God. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or where you're standing. Right now, he's saying it's a new day. Begin to pray. So let's begin to just target him and pray. Start to begin leadership in our students. That you you would start growing them to be young men and women that become leaders on their campuses, that carry light into campuses. I don't know, there's something about high school tonight. So Father, I just pray for every student in this place. Lord, I just want to speak a blessing over them. You are chosen. You are children of the God, the ultimate power, a God who can destroy cities and who has, and a God who shows the greatest grace, the greatest love, a powerful God, a creator of the universe. He is your dad. And where our earthly fathers may have failed us, he has been there carrying you. And his grace is enough. And it's my heart that you become serious about your relationship with God tonight, because there is an amazing mandate over each and every one of you to walk in the fullness of Christ wherever you are to go in your life. Let's start now. It's time to start now and release all that other stuff. I pray that blessing over you as a child of God tonight. To begin walking as a child of God. Spouses and marriages. I want to pray over the couples in this place. Thank you.
Just rest. Kingsley was talking about the wind, it reminded me of John 3 I was reading the other day. And in John 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night because he didn't want the pastors, the religious pastors, to see him. He came into John in the middle of the night, and Jesus had this conversation with him about being reborn. He said, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven without being reborn. And he said, you need to be born of spirit and water. And back in the day, they would sprinkle water on you whenever you handled a dead body, on the third day and the seventh day. And what he's talking about is baptism. And for me, like when I got reborn, it was like I wanted to get baptized, and it was like I didn't want to get sprinkled with water, man. I want to jump in that water. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. You know, you hear that, like God will come and lay to see you, you know, and he will spew you out of his mouth because you're lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold. There's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian, because real Christians are not lukewarm. They jump into this thing full pledge. They don't touch the waters, they jump into the deep. And later on he said that the spirit, you never know where the spirit comes like the wind. He said that you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. And I want to let you guys know that I know that the spirit, the wind, I know where it came. It breathed into me. God's spirit breathed into me. And I have a real concern with the church and the Western church, that we can come to church every day and not fully know what that means. You know what I mean? We can come to church and we don't really know. We've heard it a million times to where like we're like numb to it, but we don't fully know what being reborn really is. It's like a caterpillar and a butterfly. Man, I'm a butterfly. And like a butterfly, he goes with the wind. Not like I go with the spirit. I'm not in the dirt anymore. You know what I'm saying? Gosh, I was so scared coming up here today because I didn't really have anything prepared, but it was kind of cool, like everything else. You guys are speaking, everything that was going on. So we went to a mock rock on Friday at the high school. Breezy, stand up.
Oh, dude.
Breezy mocked it and rocked it. Good job, Breezy. You're like the best one out there. Proud of you. Proud of you, bro. Good job.
Awesome.
But it's funny, when Dan was talking about that, about the school, about the high school, when we were there, I was hanging out with Kingsley, and King was like, dude, look at all these kids. Do they like look like all the surfer kids? They look like John Florence. And those of you guys that don't surf, who John Florence is like the surfer. He just blows it up. He's a really, really good surfer. Like, when I was a teenager, I would be like, that guy's awesome, you know? But he's got like blonde hair and billabong hat, and he's got his blonde hair sticking out the sides. You know, and you see all these little blonde haired kids doing that, you know? And then in the mix, you're sitting there and you see a couple of Miley Cyrus girls out in the audience. You know, not Hannah Montana version, but like the new one. Like the Wrecking Ball one, you know what I'm saying? With like the trim hair, the blonde, and yeah. Holy Spirit, come back. But I heard all these songs, man. These kids were singing these songs, and they're like these ballads, man. They're like long and like heartbroken, like about people leaving them, and you know, it's like a suicidal, like scary, like sad spirit, man. And it goes with exactly what Dan was talking about. It was like we were there, and I was like, man, these kids, man, I feel so sad for them. And it's like I was a youth pastor for three years, and it's like the same thing. I used to speak to them like, man, you guys got a bunch of kids that are surrounding you, telling you who you are. You know what I mean? They're sitting there in the hallways telling you who you are and who you should be and who you shouldn't be, when they themselves don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they're looking up to a false idol like Miley Cyrus, when obviously she doesn't know who she is. She's lost. And I feel like it's not just high school. I feel like it's in adulthood. Like, we go even 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, you know, and we believe we're going through life in our careers and doing all these things, and we're surrounded by people, and we still think, like we still let the world tell us who we are. It's the thing about not fully knowing that we're reborn and we are a new creation.
Come on, Ricky, that's good. That's good.
Like careers, man. Like careers. We let careers tell us who we are. Like, I'm not a construction worker. I'm not even a pastor. I'm a son of God. I don't believe in titles. I don't let the world tell me who I am. I let God tell me who I am. I'm a son of the mighty living God.
Amen.
And I was born in His image. In the image of God. And God is a fire-breathing, star-breathing God. He's awesome, man. And I just feel like the church is not grasping that concept. I feel like we're getting numb to it, man. And I feel like we carry this stuff, like Dee was talking about the other day at work, like we carry this stuff into the churches with us. We don't fully know who we are. And it's concerning in the Western world. It's really concerning here. We even let churches tell us who we are and who we aren't through false doctrine. We let the churches tell us who we are. We let the churches determine who we are in our relationship with the Father. I will never let another brother or sister tell me who I am with my Father and my relationship with my Father, because that's for me. Like, I don't come to church with my torch trying to take the fire away to go out in the world. I light my torch at home, and I let it burn so I can come to church and throw a bonfire. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel like all of us should be. Whew, I don't even know where I'm going. But I just have a real strong concern with that, man, that we don't fully know what God really did for us. Like, we know that Jesus took away our sin, but we still think that we're sinners. Right?
Yeah.
If you guys have Bibles, or iPhones, or iBibles, open up to Romans 3:23. This is a common verse that I hear from Christians all the time, and they let the seed soak into them. And it's I want to break this down right now. I hammer this thing. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Now we read that verse time and time again, and all we take from that is that, oh, well, we're all sinners. We're all sinners and we've all fallen short. We're all sinners and we've all fallen short. No, the scripture says that we have sinned and we have fallen short. The scripture doesn't say that we are fallen. The scripture doesn't say that we are sinners. It says that we are redeemed in the Lord. We are redeemed in the Lord and we're justified in God. You guys know what I'm saying? You guys feel me? That's huge, man. See, that's a little bit bigger than just Him taking away my sin. Right?
Yeah.
I want to read another scripture. Let's go to Genesis 1:26, 28-28. You see, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us our identity. The Bible tells us our destiny. All in the first couple pages of the Bible. It tells us exactly who we are and exactly where we're going. If we just keep that for truth and we don't listen to the world, we know. Genesis 1:26-28. Then God said, Let us make man in our image and our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them both. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. You see, in the beginning, we were created in the image of God. Like, God predestined us. He gave us our destiny. He gave us our identity and exactly who we're supposed to be. And we fall short of that. We don't know. We lose sight with the world. Right? I don't know about you guys, but I messed up big time in my life. And I let the world determine who I was. I let people in my home determine and tell me who I was. When all the while, that's never who I was intended to be. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. See, Adam later on, Adam, the fall of man, he ate the tree. Right? And that's our bloodline. That's where we came from. And that's why we sin. And that's why we mess up. But Scripture says that Jesus is the last Adam. What's the Scripture? 1 Corinthians 15:45. He says that Jesus is the last Adam. Adam, we can agree with scientists. Like, we all come from Adam. You know what I mean? So scientists agree with us on that one. But we all come from Adam, but Jesus is the last Adam. What that means is we were all under Adam's tree, family tree, okay? And we are all in a sin, and we all have sin, and we were all sinners, right? But since Jesus came and did what he did, that means we're under a new family tree. We're under a new covenant. We're in his bloodline. He shed his blood for me, and I drink that blood in communion. We drink that blood, and we don't fully understand what that means. It's like, I am his DNA, right? What that means is family curses are no longer family curses. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a family curse. That means if you were born with ADHD, ADD, if you were born with a learning disability, that is not who you are. That is not who you are. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good, man. That's him. You can clap for him. It's him. He's Christ. That means my mother's father was an alcoholic. Okay? My father's father was an alcoholic. Okay? By the time I was 13, no, I was 10 years old, I had my first drink, and I got drunk. My uncle gave me a couple beers, and I got drunk. And I thought I was an alcoholic from then on. I thought I was an alcoholic, and I messed up big time. I did a lot of stupid things. And guess what? When I got in trouble, I feel like I can be free here and tell you guys like my story. Nobody's going to judge me. I don't care if you do it, because I'm the son of God. But I got in trouble. I went to jail. I got in trouble because I allowed the world to tell me who I was when that was never who I intended to be. Right from the gate. So I got in trouble, and I kept getting in trouble. And guess what? I had to go to a group home. And I had to go to AA classes, NA classes every day. And guess what they told me? You're an alcoholic. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. You have a disease. It's a disease. It's a disease. It's a disease. I don't know if any of you guys struggle with this. I don't want to mess you guys up if you are. If you guys are struggling with this, go to the 12-step program. It's good. Okay? I don't want to mess anybody up here if you guys are struggling. But check this out. They tell you it's a disease. It's a disease. It's a disease. You're an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic. When I married Kelly, we got in a battle, and she's like telling me, she's like laughing at me. I'm like, no, I can't go hang out with these people, you know, because I'm an alcoholic. I can't bring the light of God into certain places because I'm an alcoholic. I have a disease. Kelly laughed at me. She said, that's so stupid. I was like, what? I'm like, we're fighting. We're like fighting. She goes, that is just so stupid. I go, what do you mean? She goes, you're a Christian. I go, yeah, but honey, you don't understand. You know, once an alcoholic, I was like, I have a disease, honey. It's a disease. It's a disease. But check this out. I don't know about you guys, but in my Bible, Jesus heals diseases.
Yes.
There's no disease that Jesus cannot heal. See, I was never an alcoholic. I've never had a disease. That's what the world put on me. I am free of that, man. I'm a child of God. I can go out and have a drink anytime with Kelly, and it's not an issue for me whatsoever. I've been freed of that. You see, I think we have a problem as a church, coming into a church, right? We're a new creation, guys. What that means is, like I said, I'm a butterfly. So a caterpillar, right, goes along the ground and it goes real slow in the mud, right? And it's struggling through all the mud and all the dirt. And it tries to go up the tree and it struggles. And it's watching out for birds and falling down, right, and getting squished and dead, right? But then it's in a cocoon and it gets reborn and it's a butterfly now. And it's flying with the spirit, okay? I wonder if the butterfly, when it was a caterpillar, if it said, you know what? I'm a butterfly. I was always intended to be a butterfly. Or if now that it's a butterfly, it said, no, I deserve to be in the dirt. You know what I'm saying? God is bigger than that, man. And when we start seeing each other, when we start seeing Christ in us for who we really are, like if you guys do not grab this concept, if you feel that, like, He just took away your sins and you're not created new, then everything that He did was for nothing. That means everything that He did was for nothing. If you don't fully grab this concept, if you're not fully reborn, that means He shed His blood and died for nothing. You're a new creation. You're back in the image of what you were always supposed to be.
Amen.
Before the world distorted. When I, as soon as I know who I am in Christ, and as soon as I let Christ live in me, it's first denial. You got to deny yourself, right? When I get out of the way and Christ lives in me and He manifests in me, I know who I am in Him and who He is in me. When that happens, I get to see other people how God sees them. That's huge, man. That's huge. Because when God intercedes in me, I like me. I like God in me. I like the Jesus that lives and manifests
Amen.
In me. And when I know that, I see other people. Everybody's been born in the image of God. You have a candlelight right here, and the darkness can surround it and gets darker and darker and darker, but there's always a flicker of light in there, man. You start seeing people for what they're created to be. You start seeing people the way God sees them. It's awesome, man. I picked up a homeless guy that, like 2 days ago, and we ministered to him and stuff like that, you know. I don't know, he's just coming up right now. We ministered to him and stuff like that, and, you know, Derek bought him some breakfast and, you know, lifted him up. Man, you're created in the image of God, man. You're awesome, dude. You're awesome. I open up my mouth, you know, God speaks, man. It's all there. The Bible says that it's all there. He's giving you everything that you need. Just be obedient. So tell him, man, you're gonna have a house with your wife. I know it. You're gonna have a house with your wife, you're gonna be good. But when I first picked him up, he goes, "What's up, man? How you been, man? like good, man, how you been? Well, you know, I'm on the streets, blah 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 blah. I go, "Oh yeah, man, I'm doing good. I just had a baby girl." He goes, "Oh, congratulations." He starts smacking him in the face. Real hard like that. He's like, "Oh, congratulations," like that. And right away I was like, "Oh man, this guy's in such pain, man." You know? I felt a jealous spirit, but I saw the God in him. I was like, "Man, this guy's awesome, man. I feel so bad for him." You know, I'm not angry, I feel bad for him. Yesterday Kelly and I we were hanging out again with some street people. They're guys, another different man. Good friend of mine, man. He's a street preacher. You guys ever get a chance going to Home Depot? Stop by, talk to this guy. Yeah, Steve hung out with him before.
Sweet.
This guy's awesome, man. Stop by, bless this guy. You will be blessed, dude. He'll preach to you.
Right.
He's dying of a Crohn's disease. He's dying, and he says, man, he's got nothing, man. But he's like, if I'm by the creekside underneath the bridge, Jesus is going to come out of my mouth. That's the last words, man. I love Jesus so much, and he's crying. It's like, dude, I love this guy, man. I love this guy so much, man. He's got nothing, man, and he loves Jesus more than anybody, man. I'm like, God, I love this guy. I love this guy. He's my friend. He's like my brother, man. But we were over there yesterday, you know when God starts moving the atmosphere, you know, you're like, okay, God's about to do something here. So Kelly and I were coming back from Target, and I see him on the corner, and I see a security guard over there staring at him. I'm like, okay, God's, I just feel God just starting to come around the atmosphere. I'm okay, we're here for a reason right now. So we walk by, security guard calls the cops on him, and the cops, you know, they give him a ticket, and they say, yeah, you can be going to jail, you can be going, having a warrant, blah, 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 blah. And I just tell the security guard, I'm like, yeah, you know, I have a heart for this guy. I walked by this guy, and right when I saw him, man, I loved him. Like, I love this guy. I was telling her like that, you know. I was like, I love this guy. Right when I walked by him, I saw the light in him. I see God in him. He's a man of faith, I tell her. I'm like, he loves Jesus. She goes, pfft. She goes, that's funny. She's like, the first time I ever met him, he's like started using all his profanity at me, all his words and stuff. And I'm like, okay, sister. So I was thinking, I'm like, yeah, but you know what? There's a little bit of God in everybody. I see past that. He's a saint. This guy's a saint, man. He's a saint, and he's made righteous in the eyes of God. I tell her, I see God in everybody. You got to see past that. She goes, yeah, that's true. And I go, and you know what? You know what? When I'm done talking to you, I'm going to have the same conversation with him about you. So I go over there, and one of the police ladies is, she's a Christian. And my buddy, you know, he's like, man, she's going to see, man, when Jesus comes back for her sins of what she's doing, you know. She's a Christian. She's a believer. And she's going to talk down to me like that. She doesn't even know because I'm homeless. She doesn't know me. Like, she doesn't even know, like, the Jesus in me. I'm like, man, that doesn't matter, dude. Don't let somebody else determine your relationship with your father. Don't let your sister determine your relationship with your father. Then I tell him the same thing. Like, man, you got to see the God in everybody, man. I was like, Jesus lives in her, man. She's a believer, bro. Oh, well, you know, you couldn't see past that. It's like, dude, we'll check it out. What if Jesus couldn't see past that with you? What if Jesus couldn't see past that with me? He's like, oh, man. I'm like, yeah, man. I started crying. Like, you're right, brother. You're right. But, man, I'm sorry, man. I don't think correctly. You know, I'm bipolar and I'm schizophrenic and stuff. I go, no, man. No, man. No, you're not, bro. You're not bipolar, man. You're not schizophrenic, man. That's not who you are, man. You're a saint, man. You're righteous. You're justified in God. You're an ordained preacher. I see you. You love Jesus. I see you. And he's like, he just starts crying, man, because that's how I see him. Because he is. He's anointed. A lot of people come to God through this guy. God uses everybody. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just talking. But when we know who we are in Christ, and we know. We see other people. Like, if you guys want gifts of healing and prophecy and things like that, it all starts with loving people. It all starts with loving God and loving people. Being obedient, just walking up, opening up your mouth, healing people. So I wonder if that butterfly thinks he's a caterpillar. That's all I got. If you feel like you're still a sinner, then Jesus died in vain. Paul never wrote letters to Colossae. He never addressed them, or to Ephesus. He never addressed them to the sinners of Colossae. He never addressed them to the sinners of Ephesus.
Amen.
You gotta see people, man, for who they are. I'm speaking to the saints right here. Saints of Cayucas, Hope Living Church. Jesus, help us to be more like you, God. Father, we accept you into our lives, Lord. We thank you for what Jesus did, God. It's more than just casting our sins to the deepest part of the seas, Lord. It's totally redeeming us back to the Father and back to the image of who we were meant to be, God. And seeing people for who they were always meant to be, God. It's becoming Jesus, God. We are walking Jesus, God. Father, we just accept Jesus in all of our hearts right now. And we pray, God, I pray for Christ to manifest in everybody's heart right now.
Thank you. She lays flat.